Interview with Alagaratnam, WTI, 9th of June, 1966.
Well, I looked up the Ceylon civil list, and is it correct to say that there weren't many Ceylonese in the irrigation department at that time?
There weren't any qualified Ceylonese engineers. There were two unqualified people who have been promoted as assistant engineers.
Oh, I see. Was it a question of Ceylonese lacking qualifications, or was there a policy of restricting the entry of Ceylonese into the irrigation department?
I think, I'm afraid that was the policy.
That was the policy. Well, my father says that even in the civil service, they were very slow to make Ceylonese or non-European GAs or... And when one looks at the various departments, it is noticeable that in the irrigation and in the police department, they were very reluctant to take Ceylonese.
In fact, one director of irrigation has said, I think it was published in the papers long ago, that he prefers an Englishman who has walked the streets of London to a qualified plant engineer.
There was definitely prejudice there. This was in the 1920s, this fellow said it.
Yes.
Was there any change of opinion in the 30s?
I think about 1935 or so, they took in qualified assistant engineers.
Mm-hmm.
26 or so.
From your experience, would it be correct to say that in the 20s, Ceylon was turning out engineers of sufficient skill to enter the department, even if few?
Yes, but there, because people had entered the PWD, qualified engineers, but not the irrigation department. The policy was whenever there was needed an engineer, they selected one from England, and nobody knew till he came to Ceylon. On previous agreement, appointed an engineer.
What is the difference between the PWD and the irrigation?
Can't say exactly why the difference was, but I think it was also partly the reason the Ceylonese did not like the hard life of the irrigation department, where they had to be in the jungle there, and they preferred the life in the PWD where they have to be
in the towns. And in the 20s, I have heard from several British civil servants that the irrigation department seems to have been rented by various divisions and personal rivalry. Did you feel this was so among your superior officers?
Among the officers?
I mean, you would have been junior at this stage.
Among the European engineers?
Yes.
Usually I think there have to be favorites and partisans. Especially it happens, I think, when the man is in the top. So the man below him wants to go away and to give place to him.
But was there a noticeable a sort of abnormal amount of this internal friction in the 20s?
No, among the Europeans?
Yes.
No, I don't think there was much friction.
And I believe the headquarters were in Trincomalee.
Yes, headquarters were in Trincomalee.
Later on, there was a some argument over this, and some people said that it should be in Colombo.
They had in Trincomalee the headquarters, I think, because one of the reasons the quarters were available there, buildings were available there.
Mm-hmm.
And also most of the irrigation was in the dry zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that was more central for the work.
How was the liaison between irrigation officers in the field, or the irrigation department as a whole, and the other departments? And GAs and NGAs?
I think I think my thing is probably about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the most of the other officers are also Europeans, most of the GAs and the
Personally, how did you get on with GAs and NGAs?
I can't answer it.
You didn't come across any arrogance on their part or aloofness?
No, not so much.
Is it even between the European public servants and the civil servants, there seems to have been some sort of split, and the public servants call the civil servants heaven-born and things
because normally they're better paid and I think the facilities.
There's some jealousy.
Even now I think there is that.
Mm-hmm.
They think that the civil servants want to be on top there, and all the work is done by the technical officers, and the civil servants want to all of them about and take the response and take the credit for everything which is done by these people.
Yes, I see. In the 20s, I mean, one could take this as take the period before 1931 as part of British rule, whereas after 31 it was more Ceylonese control.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering whether before 31 you felt that government as a whole lacked purpose and drive.
I can't say that the government lacked purpose and drive. It all depends, as far as the irrigation department is concerned, it all depends on the what the head wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and as an outsider, I think he thought what was best for the country, or he came to schemes also.
Mm-hmm.
He took up the schemes which he thought was best for the country, but later on, I think when Lenin came to power, there's a lot of politics coming into play, so they wanted schemes to be taken up which were not the best, but because
certain constituencies. So, did you come under some sort of political pressure in your division or in your district?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you proposed the scheme, did you find a politician opposing it and asking for another scheme in his area? Or?
No, it's usually the minister is the person who does the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And the, as a judge in that department, we just carried out the minister's instructions.
Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, in the 30s and 40s, schemes were not always considered on their intrinsic merits.
No, not the smaller schemes. The major schemes, I think, were on their intrinsic merits, but smaller schemes where an MP was concerned or something, they were taken up even though they were not the best.
Oh, I see, yes.
But the major schemes, I think, were all, even if the government or the politicians wanted the scheme, that officers would have objected, they would have protested, saying that it's uneconomical and not the best thing. A lot of money is involved and the prestige of the engineers also.
Yes, I suppose so. What were the heads of department like in the 20s? Did they have drive?
Yes, I think they had drive and those days, they were able to get the people to the work. Now I think it's a general slackness all over, from bottom upwards.
Yes, I was one aspect I am interested in is the effectiveness of this, of the supervision by Velvidana, you know, in maintaining irrigation and small work. Mm. What was your experience in the 20s and 30s?
Velvidana, they got paid by the cultivators for a certain amount of paddy, I think that we paid.
Mm-hmm.
And also, generally I think they tried to help the cultivators.
You think this personal connection between the Velvidanas and the cultivators contributed towards better labor? What is the system now? Are they government paid or are they paid by the cultivators?
I think now it is government paid. I'm not quite sure. It's government paid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. The agrarian services, they collect some money, mm-hmm. from an acreage fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are paid that way.
Paid that way. But weren't many of the Velvidanas rather unskilled and wasn't their knowledge very primitive?
No, but they have been working in the field from their fathers and all that. They have been working with them so that their work was the issue of water,
mm-hmm.
and also the maintenance of these canals. I think they did not need much technical skill for that. Experience is what it was.
Experience. As an irrigation engineer yourself, did you feel that the area you had to supervise was too large?
No, I don't think it was too large. Okay. Those days, you had to go about either on a bicycle or walk. Now you can, so that the areas can be bigger now.
Yes.
Every point in an empty possible.
And within your experience of larger scale, did any of them contribute to the extension of the acreage under pericultivation?
Yes.
Can you think of some in particular?
All the major schemes, I think, brought new land under cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
One time they were only... And I think of another reason is the malaria.
There have been...
People are not willing to get out and work or get out of their towns and go to the villages where they have to go to the clearing and work during the malaria season.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when malaria was developed, I think some of those colonists, during the malaria season, they went home.
Oh, I see. One aspect of policy I notice has been to try and extend the acreage under paddy cultivation.
Yes.
And they have concentrated less on increasing the yield.
That both are being done, I think, there.
No, but I was wondering about the 20s and 30s.
20s and 30s, I think, because there was any amount of paddy, I think, available, and I think a bushel of paddy cost about 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they were not very much concerned about the yield. They were more concerned about... And they did not use any fertilizers. In fact, in the county, they hardly did any manuring, not even the ordinary manuring, cow dung or anything. They never used that.
But no,
they never used any manure.
Mm-hmm.
For years they have just mudding and...
With the constitutional changes in the 20s, in the late 20s, the Finance Committee of the Legislative Council had a lot of power without all that much responsibility. And quite often they used to summon heads of departments to explain this and that.
Yes.
Was that very unpopular?
No, it wasn't very popular, but I don't know whether it was very effective. They just ask for the explanation, stop at that, they don't go further into it and see why it was done and hold somebody responsible for the excesses or the irregularities.
But did you feel...
Even now, it's better, I think.
Yes, but did you feel that the Europeans resented this sort of thing because it was somewhat new and they were not used to these sort of questions?
No, I don't think so.
And how did the governors themselves strike you? I mean, did you know anything about governors like Stanley and Stubbs and Caldicott?
I didn't much to do with the people. I think I know Caldicott.
Yes, what sort of man was he?
He was quite, during his time, more or less the Sloan Legislative Council was getting more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, he tried to do what the people wanted, I think.
And he was adapting himself to. Yes, one question was in the early 30s when they had this change and the Guantanamo Constitution came in. They had these three officers of state, the three policemen, who were not particularly liked by the politicians. And do you know if the particular officers concerned were very slow in adapting themselves to this change?
But I know that some of the heads of the department, they resented the interference of the minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair to them, did the minister sometimes go too far in the interference?
Yes, I think some instance. That's why they
resented that. Yeah, are you thinking of the irrigation department?
I'm thinking of the irrigation department.
Oh, yes, I got something on that. I was wondering whether Senanayake, D.S. Senanayake, tended to want yes men at the head. Because...
To some extent, I think...
I'm certain he was well-intentioned.
Yes.
And he had lots of ideas.
Yes, and that what he thought was right.
Mm-hmm. He thought that all his ideas were right.
Yes.
Wasn't Kennedy a good head of department?
Kennedy was one of the best engineers we have had, a good speaker, a good writer. But I think what greatest fault was
alcohol.
Yes.
But was he really got rid of on that ground or because of a tiff with D.S.?
I think tiff more than that.
Mm. And Wilson?
He resented, Wilson also, I think, resented some objection to the minister.
As a sort of historical criticism of D.S. Senanayake, one sees that he had a large program. And it seems to be undermining his very program to get rid of some of the more experienced and
at what time they thought that if they got rid of these people, their program will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I don't think it
did
suffer because it's the people low down who did the work.
And there were
engineers also higher up who were able to do the designs and all that.
And gradually Sudanese were coming in today.
Yes. In fact, now it is 100% Sudanese. When I joined in, there wasn't a Sudanese engineer at all. And I was the first Sudanese engineer.
Also, wasn't DSS program much too optimistic and sanguine?
No, I don't think his program was all right. I think it was. Of course, unless you have a to pitch your program high, you won't be able to at least reach a third of that is part of it.
But now to take an example, this, stimulated by the war, they had this land development campaign, I forget what to call it, special crash program to bring
food production drive.
Food production drive. New areas under cultivation. And they had a target of 10 acres a day or something like that. And they never achieved anything, they only achieved about a quarter of that target.
I don't know if they had a 10 acres a day target, but they want to clear as much land as possible. And I think they started the state farms for fertilizer, which was very costly.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in the 30s and 40s, government had really estimated the difficulties caused by jungle and the difficulties of keeping a cleared area clear, you know, encroaching jungle?
I don't think that was much
problem. But I thought it was not easy to maintain a clearing.
No, it all depends. If you do your cultivation regularly, it is very different.
Is what about the colonization schemes themselves? Mr. Farmer has written a book on the subject.
Yes.
But what sort of success did they have in your view?
It was successful in that you were able to settle a lot of people, landless people on this land and all that. But colonies had got into a state of mind where they wanted governments to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I know when Kagama colony, when I was there, those huts were tight and was leaking.
Mm-hmm.
So let the water leak instead of just pushing the cajans had moved out. Instead of repairing it themselves, they wait till the GA comes and says,
mm-hmm.
Nobody's attending to the house leaking.
So in a sense, this program has created an unwelcome mentality.
Mm. But you see that the squatters who go and occupy land forcibly, they are better cultivators than this farmers. And I think that one of the reasons is that they didn't select the best type of cultivator. They selected the people with the large families, landless people, and I think one of the conditions was that they should have at least 4 children.
Oh, I see.
But now I think they are thinking the opposite way.
But when you look at figures and given the number of people who are landless, the people they were able to help was just a very, very small proportion from the statistical point of view.
No, but then there will be always things landless. There you can't find land for all the landless people.
Mm-hmm.
The land is limited. So that at one time they were giving them 5 acres. Now it's reduced to 2 acres.
So is it?
Yes, and probably they will be fertilizers and all that selected seed. They will be able to get as much as they were able to get in the 5 acres. And 5 acres is too much for one family to cultivate.
Yes, but when they first gave 5 acres, it was under the impression that one family could manage 5 acres.
Yes.
Has that been proved wrong?
Yes, I think they got other people to help them.
Oh, I see.
In fact, they leased some of their land to other people.
This 5 acres, was it purely paddy land or as for the municipal land?
No, purely paddy land, 5 acres and highland 3 acres.
Oh, so 8 acres altogether.
Now I think there are 2 acres of paddy and 1 acre of highland.
What did you think of the land development ordinance of 35? Well, it was to give land, but on a new tenure, on the condition that they did not sharecrop it or subdivide it, and that when they died, it would fall to one heir.
Yes. I think that's good.
But did you feel that it was very difficult to work in practice?
Otherwise, you get subdivision of the land.
That's true, but what is there to prevent conceived or verbal sharecropping arrangement? Difficult to detect all these sort of things.
But then I'm in Galloya, they find now they are giving land to the dependents of corner. And I think what I think they should do is the cultivators the children of the cultivators need not all be cultivators, they should take to in some other cottage industries or something like that.
Were they trying to encourage this kind of thing?
Yes, I think that's what they were trying to do in Galloya, getting them more should be, at least a few of the cultivators, the college children were trained in the workshop.
What is your opinion on chena cultivation? I mean, in the early 20s, there was this...
I've got strong views on that. I think that should stop. In fact, I think one time the present Prime Minister said that if they are not allowed chena cultivation, he will march someday.
He will protest
strongly.
Who? Dudley?
In chena cultivation or stop.
That means he was spoiled?
Yeah, when he was, I think when he was a member.
But you think it's bad?
Still, it spoils the land, isn't it?
Yes, but is there any alternative in the dry zone, without where there is no water?
The chain of cultivation as it is at present is they clear a jungle, they abandon that and go and clear the jungle. So the whole area is create a jungle. Timber which trees which have taken hundreds of years to grow are destroyed. And then you get scrub jungle instead. And in addition, when they cut the jungle and burn it, the soil will get easily eroded with the rains and fertile to the soil.
But then can one crop, 1 year cultivation erode the soil all that greatly?
No, they don't do it 1 year, they go on. But at the first year, a lot of erosion takes place. And then, especially if you have it near the reservoir, liable to get filtered.
Yes, but as far as I can read Farmer, he says that chena cultivation in the dry zone is inevitable and necessary until one evolves another method of dry farming which will stand up to drought.
Yeah, they have been trying some experiments with Mahalapalam for
several years. But
they haven't come to any conclusion.
They haven't come to any conclusion.
It all depends, I think, on the cultivators themselves, I think. If they want to, they can make use of that. Do some cultivation, make use of it. Of the rainwater during those months. And then probably they'll want some well or something to... I think they are doing that in the northern province, at the south, in Manklam side, I think they have taken up land and they are giving them well.
Yeah, if I may ask, where were you stationed in the early 20s?
Mostly I was in the north end of the province and northwest.
Well, yes, in that case you would have known something about this controversy between Freeman and his followers and the central government on chena cultivation.
H.R. Freeman.
Yes, I know very well. He wanted Chennai cultivation because the people had nothing else to do. Probably when they were settled on his scheme, students, he wanted their improvement to them. I don't think he advocated Chennai cultivation.
No, if his views, as far as I can see, were that government was too strict in restricting Chennai cultivation, and that in many localities, it was utterly essential to prevent them from starving. Was that your experience? That
I don't think there's so much of starving.
What sort of man was Graham Tyrrell?
I don't know.
Wedderburn? He was in the northern
school. But I had no contact with
him. No contact. Later on in the 40s, now how did you find Taylor as a head of department?
Taylor was very good, I think, in the department, very hardworking and conscientious.
How considerate towards his
subordinate?
Yes.
I think he was not considerate. I think he wanted work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Pushing,
yes. I think during his time, I think the lower people worked harder than they worked at present, because he was a man who goes and looks into all details.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes and inspects any later on, I think people just go. When cars will take them.
Yeah.
He made a thorough inspection, and usually he inspects places where people normally would not go.
Mm-hmm.
So people were always, the overseers and others were always on the alert.
How did you find the young officers, like Kitching and others?
They were also, I think, good, I think.
What about the civil servants of the 40s and 50s? I mean, people like Drayton and Collins.
I can't say much about these things, but I haven't come in contact with them.
And then after independence, 48, 52, when you were more in control of things, what do you think of government's irrigation policy?
Later on, towards 55 and all that.
Yes.
No, earlier, I think it was more or less indiscriminate construction.
Mm-hmm.
Without some member wanted it or scheme to be taken up, it was taken up. And later on, I think it was after 1950 or so, I think even they started they planned the development of the river valley.
Oh, I see. Who was responsible for this change? D.S. or Dudley would have been the Minister of Agriculture and Food then?
No, I don't think it came from the...
From the top?
From the politicians, I think.
Came from the Irrigation Department.
From the Irrigation Department.
Even this concept of greater planning was even applied to the smaller ones?
Yes.
And what do you think where do you think the future of irrigation policy lies? In an emphasis on the smaller irrigation works or the larger ones?
There is a lot of controversy. There have been changes. At one time they said that we should all concentrate on the major works. Then again they changed and said we should take the village work. I think at the start, the irrigation department was more concerned with the major work.
I'll start what time?
When the department was formed.
Oh, I see, yes.
I think in the 1900 or so.
Yes, 1900.
It took up, mostly took to the restoration of major bridge tanks. And that was done by the department. And the small village tank was in charge of the revenue officers, to whom they seconded some officers of the department, who have them, and most of them was their work was getting earthwork done on these village tank bunds and keeping the tank bunds clear of jungle.
Uh-huh.
And the department was mainly concerned with major irrigation work, what they call the major scheme.
Yes.
Then, I think after the railway disaster in 1921 or so, is it Madhavachi?
Oh, I'm not certain.
Yes, there was and then they said this is because the village tanks were not properly looked after, they breached and got it, and that's why there was big floods and railway got washed away, and about 20 or 30 people got killed. Then the department said that we should look into all these village tanks, and the special village work improvement subdivision was formed. And then after that they started investigating these tanks and restoring them. And since then, I think, when once they started that, everybody wanted village tanks to be done, every politician in his area. And
then,
and with the department is concerned, they restored these tanks and handed them over to the PA people. At one time it was only the masonry work was done by the department and the people were asked to do the earthwork, but they never did it.
Oh, I see.
So finally the department
undertook that
and finished that and handed over. And the trouble is the maintenance is done by the villagers under the GA. And that has not been satisfactorily done, I think. So that some of the tanks which were improved and restored had again breached. And you find the tanks which were restored about 1925 being attended to again.
Do you think that's partly because the GAs lacked sufficient know-how?
Yes, I think that. I think they should concentrate. I think there's not know-how also. They don't want to, when the villagers complain that they're too poor to do the work, they get away. And I know in certain cases, when village tanks were neglected, when I asked some of those chaps, villagers, why they don't keep the tank in maintenance, they said that if we keep this tank in order, then when relief work comes, we have to go to some other village to do the work. If our tanks needed work, then we can do all the relief work in our area. You know.
Yes, I see. In the 19th century, I found that when they had this system of government providing half the cost and the villages providing the labor, generally speaking, the labor was gladly provided and there was...
Yes.
But how did this change come?
No, that's, I think it's mostly the politicians, I think. They sometimes say, no, you don't do it, I will see that it's a target. Government.
Oh, you can remember any specific cases when this happened?
I can't remember. If I can remember in some cases where the colonies have to pay their rates, then the MPs come and say, you don't pay the rates, I will see that it's waived.
But you can generally remember that politicians used to tell villagers, don't do the work on this tank, let government do it.
Yes, we will get government to do it, I think that's the...
That happened?
Yes, because then the people like it.
Even in the 20s? Or maybe in the 30s?
Yeah. Maybe in the 30s, not in the 30s.
What about in your later days, in the 50s, did you come across political interference?
Political interference, I think, is getting worse 3 years by, I think.
Now, as a head of department, did you feel that even your minister tended to go into unnecessary detail?
He can't go into detail. I think the minister, at least our minister, even his predecessor never interfered much with the administration.
Hmm. Oh, that's for the good, isn't it?
Yes. Very rarely at all, but...
What about the Department of Agriculture? Did you have to cooperate at all with them?
No, not much we had. We had to cooperate in that. They have got a state farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also worked out some of the water requirements for us. And we always, even the others didn't get water, we always saw that. So they are carrying on experiments that they got the water.
As far as the government aid to colonization schemes go, do you feel that this aid was too much? That they tried to help the colonists too much?
In a way, I think. But all the politicians who say that they're not being given enough.
Mm.
They know that I was working on some scheme. They now work the benefit cost ratio and say it is more than one.
Mm.
The scheme is good and can be taken up. But the benefit cost ratio is not, the government is not getting anything back. So in one of the schemes I was looking into recently, the benefit cost ratio is 2. But you find that in addition, then I think the government pays about 10,000 rupees for to develop the major construction of the scheme, irrigation and providing the irrigation facilities, the channels, the houses and all that. I think it comes to about 15,000 rupees subsidy to each family. And after that, they pay about 1,000 rupees every year to each family because, as I said, perpetually.
So it's subsidized
Yes, and in addition they subsidize the study they produce.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rate they get does not even cover the maintenance cost. And the capital cost of the scheme is never recovered from them. It's a welfare state, so they don't.
So you think it's actually uneconomic?
It's uneconomic, of course. At one time, I think, at least in India, they didn't take up a scheme unless it gave a return to the expenditure, that is 4 or 5%, this is much more. Even in Ceylon, I knew, when they started earlier, when they took up a scheme, they said it's uneconomical because it's not giving a return on the expenditure. Now that's all
gone. Turning back to these new tenures, that is the tenures on which colonization schemes were brought into being, for instance, after 1935. Did you feel that this idea of individualized 5-acre holdings or 8-acre holdings went against the traditions of the people? I mean, they were used to a village sort of scheme of cultivation and synchronized paddy cultivation, whereas this is very individualistic. You see, farmer is the one who puts this forward and says that they chose people from all over the place in some...
Yes, I don't think there was so much of... But usually they put them from people from one village or something, they put them together.
Together?
Yes.
But do you feel that now...
They are more individualistic, I think, in these colonization schemes rather than the villages.
They are?
And because in the villages, more or less, they are same people, relations and all that.
Now the point farmer is making that in the villages they have this Bethma system.
Yes.
And this is all a sort of a scheme of reciprocal obligation.
Yes.
Whereas the new system was all separate.
Yes.
Therefore it was, he says that it was bound to be a bit unpopular and also bound to be evaded and less successful.
I don't think it is less successful. They all cultivate their land.
You think they cultivate their land better than the normal villages?
No, if the acreage is reduced, I think and especially when they get so much of money for their paddy, ₹12. And so it's very difficult to make them go to any other cultivation. I think the minister is trying to get the subsidy food grown, and it's, I think, giving them a guaranteed price. I don't know how far it's going to be a success. He expects to do 20,000 acres. Yes, and subsidy crops. Like chilies, onions, groundnuts.
Yeah.